This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken with Him, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us for Cradle My Heart Radio. Kim Cotola, your host. And as always, our mission here is preventing abortion and helping those it hurts. And one of the best ways to do that is to simply share our stories. For those of us who have had an abortion, it can be very, very difficult to speak truth. Because we require healing before we're able to do that. Oftentimes, there may be shame attached to it. There may be a lot of grief that's unidentified, much less expressed. And so while we live in times when many people are being bold to witness their abortion stories without remorse, without regret, I feel as if there will be a day of reckoning for each one of us who has made that choice once or more times. And I don't say that to shame anyone. I say that because it's the truth. Abortion is always a spiritual issue. There is always another life involved. And therefore, we will have to come to terms with God about our participation in it. Seldom have I heard a story where a woman is solely responsible for that abortion decision and for carrying it through. And so what we talk about here continually is accepting accountability for our part. And as we bring forward stories into the light of women and men who have been healed after participating in abortion, I think that you will see that it is God's grace alone that allows us this reconciliation. And ultimately, our peace allows us to have our hearts and spirits healed and for us to live in hope. And we've got a story like that for you tonight with our guest, Kaylin Knopp, who is a mom and also works in ministry to help those hurt by abortion. And Kaylin, it's a joy to welcome you to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you, Kim. I'm happy to be here.
You have a unique beginning to your story because you got the pro-life message very early on in life. Share that part of the story with us.
I grew up the oldest child in a large Christian family. And when I was in the sixth grade, I was attending a private school, a faith-based school, and we had a priest that came, and he spoke to us about abortion and abortion procedures. And I remember just thinking that it was the most horrible thing I'd ever heard, and I couldn't believe that something like this happened, and this little advocate fire in my heart had started. And I knew that I just wanted to do something. And so I went up to him afterwards, and I said, "What can I do? How can I help?" And it was before email, it was before cell phones, and so we started writing to each other. It became pen pals, actually. And I would send him my babysitting money every month, and he would send me different literature and statistics on abortion. And I just wanted that knowledge, and I started writing different pieces on about adoption over abortion. I had two younger adopted brothers, and so adoption was really important to my family. And I always thought about what would have happened if my brother's mother would have chosen to have an abortion and how thankful I was that she had chosen life. And so I used that, you know, high school, being on the speech team and debate team, to use it as a platform to talk about this topic that was so close and near and dear to my heart.
So, and then life happened and life interceded.
Yeah.
And you ended up indeed making that choice. And, you know, one of the things that I really love about your story, Kaylin, is that it happens that way. There are people who don't believe that it does. There are people who don't, who refuse to listen to the circumstances of anyone's decision.
Right.
I mean, I was on a Facebook thread recently, and, you know, people were insisting every woman knows what's happening before she goes into abortion to get an abortion. And even today, with smartphones and Google and everything, that's not necessarily true.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of ignorance. There's a lot of not paying attention to such things until you're in the situation.
Right.
And so and I know women who also have had abortions who, when they made the decision, were pro-life or were against abortion. And you say that and people don't believe that it can happen that way, but it does. Right. And so we know your mindset. We know that you were all in for the cause right. of life. And as you say, you were a young advocate. Mm-hmm. But what happened?
Yeah, so the end of my high school career, kind of I was, you know, praying outside of clinics and had something published on adoption over abortion and just, you know, had this wonderful life set ahead. I was off to a good private school for college. I was a two-sport athlete, so I went on a scholarship and really just had the world at my fingertips. When I got to college, I pretty quickly met a guy who completely swept me off my feet. And it was nothing like anything I'd ever experienced. And he had encouraged me, kind of convinced me to leave school and to get an apartment with him and move in with him. And I knew it was the wrong decision, but I did it. And I let my heart, you know, I led my heart with my heart instead of my head. And we moved into an apartment. We moved to Rochester, Minnesota from the Twin Cities. And within about 3 months, I found out that I was pregnant, and I was terrified and shocked, to be honest, even though I really shouldn't have been because I wasn't being very careful. But I remember sitting in the bathroom looking at that pregnancy test and him sitting over my shoulder saying, "We're not having a baby. I'm not going to be a dad." And that's when it started. It was every threat, every scare tactic, anything he could have put in me. And right away I said, "I don't believe in abortion." So, you know, I don't really know what, I didn't know what to say. Other than I don't believe in that. I'm not doing that. And was pretty firm in that from the get-go. And he just kept on. And it was about a week of that. I decided one night, at this point, I couldn't tell my family at this point. I just left to school, first child off to college, left. And was already, you know, worried about them being disappointed in me when really they loved me and they supported me regardless. And I knew that if I told them that I was pregnant, that they would support me and they would welcome me back with open arms, even though they are themselves very pro-life as well. We grew up with pro-life bumper stickers on our minivan. But I knew they would take me back. But that was scary, too, because I really loved this guy. I really, really did. And I had just left my college career and my sports career to be with him. And I was very afraid that if I didn't have this abortion, that I would lose him. And so I decided that I didn't like any of my choices. And I wrote a letter one night and I took a bedsheet out of our closet and I tied it around my neck and I jumped off of our apartment balcony. And thankfully the balcony was wood and it was old and it broke. I didn't tie very good knots. And by God's grace, I came out of that with, a sprained ankle and a few scrapes, and that's about it. And I came back in the apartment, and he was furious. And he called the clinic the next day and made the appointment. And within a week or so, drove me there. And I remember being in that car and kicking and screaming, like literally kicking the windshield and screaming and just begging him not to make me do it. Anything, just don't make me do this. And I ended up in that clinic that day, and sitting there, you know, they ask all the questions they ask, is anyone forcing me to be here? And I said no, but everything inside of me was screaming yes. And I had, you know, and part of me too, I thought, I've seen the literature. I've seen the pictures. I've seen the gore. There's no way that that's real. There's no way that that's possible and that the things that I believed and what the pro-life people said was really true. How could it be that bad? And it was. And I would say even significantly worse than any picture that could have been depicted. It was horrible. And I left that day a different person.
Kaylin Knopp is our guest, and she's sharing her story of what happened when a pro-life advocate from middle school on, gone forward, and a very strong Christian from a pro-life family, found herself at an abortion facility. And Kaylin, what you've described is a coerced abortion. Mm-hmm. I mean, aside from the negligence in not getting you help after your suicide attempt, it's a harrowing story, a horrible story. And things got worse afterwards, didn't they?
I did. That next year, I started drinking quite a bit after that. I had no idea how to deal with what had happened. I couldn't tell anyone. I didn't feel like I could tell anyone. I was very isolated. The enemy had me in a very isolated place. And, of course, within a couple of months, he broke up with me. He kicked me out of our apartment. I ended up back home, and then for the next year, tried to save this relationship. So it was very on again, off again. I started drinking a lot. I started experimenting with drugs. I started cutting. I started harming myself in every possible way that I could have, whether it was through promiscuity, getting attention from men, drinking drugs, anything. And I ended up getting pregnant again that year. And I had another abortion. At that point, his family was aware of what had happened and was also encouraging an abortion. And it felt like, what was the point in not? I'd already had one. I'd already had one to save this relationship, and we were finally back together again. And so I did. I took the abortion pill. And at that time, it's so sad that I look back at it, I really felt like the first abortion would have been almost a waste if I would have had the second child. And it's so sad to look back at that young girl who really felt that way, and I grieve for her, but that's how I felt. And then I finally got out of this relationship and moved home and moved back to North Dakota with my family where they were at that time. And I moved in with a friend who was a childhood good guy friend of mine. And the first night that I was there, we decided to get an apartment and be roommates. And the first night that I was there, we had gone out and got very intoxicated and came back to the house. And I had been taken advantage of when I was unconscious and blacked out, and found myself pregnant again. And I was very scared at that point because I didn't love this man. I didn't like this man. I didn't have feelings for him like that and was scared again. So I had a third abortion. I had took the abortion pill again. And at that time, I got completely inebriated beforehand because I didn't want to experience what had happened the first time and how traumatizing it was. I think sometimes we think the abortion pill is what I hear from women all the time who are considering abortion is that I want to hurry up and do this so I can take the pill because it's not as bad. And that wasn't necessarily the case either, because you see the remnants, and it's just horrible and traumatic and in a completely different way.
So, Kaylin, the addiction, the drug use, I mean, how did you finally get into recovery?
So it was about 13 years. I found I was drinking a lot. After that, I was just a loose cannon. I mean, my family brought me in when they would let me come back, but I was just off to the races with my addiction and the drinking and drugs. And I did find a place where my family encouraged me to go to do an inpatient treatment, and I found some sobriety. And I, in that sobriety, had met a man, a really nice man, and it was pre-being, you know, born again or really walking with Jesus. And so we had started a family, and I have a daughter who's 10. So 10 years ago, I had a little baby girl, Grace, and I loved being a mom, and it brought up a whole new set of shame for me because I had missed out on this 3 times with these other children, and I had pushed it down so much and used the alcohol to cope, and so that brought on more shame. I ended up having a son 3 years later, and it got really bad after that again. It got to the point where I was drinking, waking up at 5 o'clock every day and drinking so I could go to work and I could take care of my family, and I tried to maintain this super mom, you know, facade that was so real in my mind and so fake, I think, to everyone else. But I was a closet alcoholic and drinking every single day, all day. Still had a career, had a business, a catering business. And finally, I was functioning until I wasn't able to function anymore. And I was at the point where I was in and out of psych wards, in and out of detoxes, and their father just said, "You can't be here anymore. You're a danger to our children and to me." And they were terrified of me. my own children were scared of me. And so I tried to do it on my own for a little while. I tried 11 over the 13 years. I went to almost 11 treatments, whether it was inpatient or outpatient or different things like that. And I got to a place where I was introduced to a faith-based program called Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. And I remember sitting in my apartment one night, and I was going to lose my children. I was on supervised visitations with them, and I just said, "You can't do this. You can't. I can't lose my children. If I lose them, I'm done. So you need to take everything away from me and fix me." And within about 48 hours, I was sitting in Teen Challenge and terrified of what was next. I didn't think it was going to work. But through that program, I was able to meet Jesus in a whole different way and in a way I had never experienced, and learned what it was really like to submit my life to him. And through that process, I was able to go through a program called Conquers, which is a program for post-abortive women. And going through that program is when things really changed for me.
Yeah, Kaylin, I'm a graduate of Conquerors as well, and that's something that I can personally tell you would absolutely benefit you if you live right in the Twin Cities area or elsewhere. You're expanding into where else is Conquerors available outside of the Twin Cities area right now, Kaylin?
Rochester. We do facilitators available in Rochester. Some of the northern areas, we have some facilitators, but as of right now, that is, I believe, in Washington as well. So
okay. So, and we'll link to the website, and you can go and explore and find out whether or not, you know, it's something that you would want to do. But I want to say that it really was life-changing for me to be able to be in that program, because it's unique among different abortion recovery programs.
Mm-hmm.
It was founded by Dr. Jeanette Vogt, who was a practitioner, a mental health practitioner, and a Christian counselor. And so she combined the best of therapy with faith, and the facilitators and everybody involved with the program are just really top shelf. And so, Kaylin, thinking about this, I want to just, before we get into the great after, you know, because I want to give you the chance to talk about life now, because things are completely different in your life now. And I'm sure people who meet you and hear the story you've just told us would be like, "What, you?" You just don't, I don't know what the stereotype is, but you just don't look like, you know, a former, you know, addict who couldn't get clean. But I'm familiar with the work of Dr. Teresa Burke, the founder of the Rachel's Vineyard Abortion Recovery Ministry.
Yeah.
And she's also a practitioner, and she writes in her book, Forbidden Grief, about traumatic reenactment. And, you know, that this is when the complicated mourning of abortion takes hold within a woman's heart, and we become attached to the grief.
Right.
You know, it's so difficult to resolve it that if another opportunity for abortion presents itself, it's almost as if, like you say, there's this combination of sort of recovering the sunk cost of the first abortion, if you will. You know, I did that to save a relationship. I have to carry on now.
Right.
But there's also, you know, that almost killed me, I've heard women say. But the second time, it didn't hurt nearly as bad.
Yeah.
It's almost a way to try to fix the trauma of the first abortion.
Yeah.
I don't know if that resonates with you, but it's sort of what I'm hearing in your story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even the third, it almost felt like the impact was less than the first, it felt like. In the grand scheme of things, maybe not, but the first one was definitely the most traumatic.
Right. And so, and that doesn't necessarily stay the case as people get into recovery and start unraveling that, you know, and then I've heard women say they were horrified. How could I have not cared on that third one? You know, I mean, it's just, but the issue for me that I think is so important for us to see is that our emotions are very unreliable guides as to what's good and right in making that choice as well as in recovery. And what the margin of difference for those of us who heal and those who languish or whose hearts remain hardened toward it. I think the margin of difference is spiritual truth.
Right.
You know, knowing and accepting the truth that, yes, a life was lost, and yes, I bear some accountability, but I'm not without hope because Christ has come. And, you know, it's already accomplished.
Yeah.
My forgiveness is already accomplished. So say some words about that spiritual part of the story, because I think, you know, you have the opportunity to really increase hope for some listening tonight.
Amen. Oh, you know, I always knew that God would forgive me. I grew up with that. You know, I grew up in a wonderful family with parents who spoke the truth of the Lord to me. But I didn't want his forgiveness. I didn't want it. I wanted to hold on to it because it was comfortable, because I just didn't want it. And it really wasn't until I was put into a place, you know, apparently he knew what I needed, you know, like he is, and where I was able to focus on him, focus on what he really thought about me. He wasn't ashamed of me. He wasn't angry at me. He loved me, and he wanted me to walk in freedom with him. That's what he wanted. And when I was able to finally receive his forgiveness, it was already there. He had already forgiven me. I was forgiven. That's why Jesus came. But I didn't want to receive it. So when I was able to say, you know what, what you did was enough, and I can receive that, that was the key for me that unlocked my freedom. I just got out of a group, in our Conquerors group, and we were working on forgiveness. And something that in this particular topic is so hard, we don't want to forgive ourselves and receive forgiveness for it. But it's the most beautiful thing to see what he'll do when we allow ourselves to accept his forgiveness and to take our story and this, you know, what the devil meant for bad, and to turn it into something good and beautiful and to be used for God's glory. And it's just the most beautiful thing to me.
Mm. And that, you know, that verse from Genesis 50, from the life of Joseph, when he forgave his brothers, what you intended for evil, God meant for good. I want to really emphasize that verse. I think it's Genesis 50:20. I wonder, because it's a verse about God. It's not a verse about an offender.
Right.
It's not a verse about anything that sets itself up against God, including ourselves. You know, I've met women who used abortion as birth control because they were told that that's what it was. And so they had no moral framework for it. It was just, you know, it's not a child. It's just a pregnancy. I don't know how our minds wrap ourselves around statements like that, but they do, you know. And so a woman will say, I intended it for evil. You know, I didn't intend anything good toward my child. But even if our intentions are evil, God means our lives for good. And I really love how your story illustrates that. So, Kaylin, we have just about 3 minutes remaining. And again, I want to direct you to cradlemyheart.org, because we've got links there to the Conquerors Ministry. And you're now the director of that program. And I think that, you know, when you say, well, I was all in for the pro-life cause, and I was an advocate starting in middle school, and I think about you sending in your babysitting money to educate yourself. I mean, it's just a very, very dear story. And I think that here you are now helping restore women who learn the truth too late, who learn to love our children too late, you know, but we still can have our healing and our hope. And I don't know, I want to give you a chance to share your thoughts about that, about God's hand within your journey.
I don't deserve any of what he's had planned for me, but I'm so grateful. I just think about how, you know, he had a plan for me, and he had a purpose for my life, just like scripture says. And even though I strayed and I went off track, when I came back and submitted to him, he brought me right back to where he wanted me to be. And I know that that's exactly where I am. I feel very purposed, and I'm just very blown away and very humbled that he could use a story like mine, and someone who just went out of my way, it almost seemed like, to go against what he would want for me and for my life, and he's able to use it for him. And I'm so grateful. I just I want to honor my children, and I want to honor God by sharing my story, because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I'm able to meet with women who are even considering abortion and feel like that's their only option. I'm able to share my story with those women, because it's really important to me that people understand that it's not just, you know, what society says is the quick fix, and that it actually hurts them.
Kaylin, I thank you so much for opening your heart and for sharing the story, good, bad, and the ugly. And you are a living example of our deepest desires here, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you so much for having me, Kim.
You can learn more about Kaylin's story at cradlemyheart.org and find links to her organizations with Conquerors and Minnesota Teen Challenge. Now stay with us. Coming up, we will open the phones for your calls at 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for joining us for this live portion of Cradle My Heart Radio tonight. And because we're live, that means that you get to be part of the program, and we'd love to hear your voice. 1-800-811-3003. It's a toll-free call, and so that means you can just call us, 1-800-811-3003. There won't be any charge to you. And would love to hear your thoughts on a particular question tonight, which is, where do you stand in this great fight to defend the value of human beings before they're born? This is the great fight that is unfolding around the questions of abortion. And like me, maybe you've changed places. Maybe you were someone who participated somewhat unwillingly, somewhat reluctantly. Maybe, you know, in a reflection of our guest's story tonight, you were forced, forcibly forced. Coercion is a very subtle thing, but, you know, maybe you did participate, but you absolutely did not want to. Maybe you have always known that abortion is terribly wrong because it destroys the life of a human being before they even have a chance to be born. Where do you stand? And how are you expressing it? I'd just love to hear your part in this great struggle. You know, I think when we look back on this, I believe abortion will come to an end, legal abortion, but I think, you know, it's been around since time immemorial. It's always been a part of life. There have always been people that were seeking to end life, people who, for whom pregnancy presented itself as a curse and not a blessing. Abortifacients are in recorded history down to the first century when Jesus was walking the earth. So all of us have something to do with it, whether or not we've personally participated and whether or not we've personally spoken up. So tell me where you stand, because we're telling stories reflecting the decisions that women make in unplanned pregnancies. Maybe you have a story to share along those lines as well. 1-800-811-3003. We do have a resource for all of our callers tonight. We'll have a copy for you of The Case for Life by my friend and mentor, Scott Klusendorf. And this is a wonderful defense of life, and it will help you take up your position in the struggle. It will make you feel very confident to be able to defend the value of human life before birth. So if you'd like a copy of that, just call us and join us. And you know, the ground rules are you don't have to give your name. We will respect your privacy if you don't want your name mentioned on the air. But would love to hear where you stand and where you place yourself in the larger struggle. Because again, as we tell these stories, reflecting unplanned pregnancies, the moral of every story is God's love, no matter what the woman chose. Of course, we show that the best choice avoids the lifetime consequences of abortion, consequences you heard in Kaylin's story, 13 years trapped in addiction, and a lifetime of not having the children in our lives, that grief, that it can find a resolution, it can recede, but it's something that's part of the story that very few are told, and almost none of us anticipate when we chose it. I made that choice to protect a budding radio career at age 23 when my fiancé abandoned me to it. I reluctantly chose it, feeling I had no other choice. You know, and I suffered that telltale heart because with every advance and every bit of success, the pain and recrimination inside grew louder and more intense because I knew what the cost was. For me, personally, and of course, for my child. 1-800-811-3003. Now, I mean, God broke through in his mercy after decades of hiding in that unlocked cell, and he used that experience and the skill that I acquired through that career so that when I approached a radio station for a free hour a week for a Christian broadcast on a pro-life theme, he said yes, because I was an experienced broadcaster and he saw the value of the message. Joe Emmert at New Life FM in Griffin, Georgia, gave us our start in 2012. You know, and that hour evolved into our one-minute messages, which are now airing on almost 1,000 radio stations with a daily story. And it's an incredible thing to me that we've achieved that broad of a reach in radio in less than a year's time. Thanks to many of you who are donors to this program, because we are 501c, and we can accept donations, and we accept in-kind donations of our airtime. God's message is going forward, and although it was an economic fear driving that decision for me all those years ago, God has arranged things so that I don't draw a salary for this. There's no profit motive whatsoever. It's truly nonprofit. And as we tell these stories, you know, I see that we are all involved in this great war for the lives of future generations. I don't think that it's an overstatement to say that. You know, in my case, I was conveyed, and I really feel this is apt, I was conveyed from being a prisoner of war, that unlocked cell was my prisoner of war camp. Having been captured behind enemy lines, I had no idea what was the consequence awaiting me when I bought into the lie that you can have sex without consequences as a young unmarried woman. I wasn't fighting for that side. They just exploited my being where I didn't belong. But God took me, he took me, that is, he released me, he restored me, and sent me to tell the story. And you are part of this struggle, too. So what's your story? 1-800-811-3003. And that's our number, 1-800-811-3003. I mean, even if you just sit and scroll through your social media, past the reports on your smartphone, your apathy doesn't determine reality. There is a war. The war is on. Lives are being lost every day. And as it says, you know, in God's word, if you say we knew nothing of this, will not he who made you know it? Rescue those who are being led away to slaughter, we are told. We all have a part in this struggle. And one thing I really want to say, you know, even in issuing this reality check there, is that God is not mad at you. He's not mad at us as an individual over this. You're here listening to this broadcast. That means you care. His word says that he reserves sternness for those who fall away from him, but kindness for you, provided that you continue in his kindness. So, I mean, there may be sternness ahead for you if your heart is hardened toward the issue and he tries to break through and you remain hardened. He may remain stern in his treatment of you in terms of, you know, the conviction of the Holy Spirit that awaits each of us until we come into agreement with him and his will and what he says is right and wrong. But if you fell, the good news is your release is at hand. Because just like me, you can come over to the winning side. A place has already been reserved for you. Your case has already been considered and a verdict rendered. And you've been found not guilty in Jesus Christ. Your pardon is already prepared. Every single one of us needs that pardon, by the way, whether or not we participated in abortion. So there is no shame. Everyone on the winning side is guilty of something too. But to be on the winning side simply means to have accepted God's kindness to us in Jesus Christ as we continue in that kindness by taking up our place in the battle in response to his love, not to earn it. 1-800-811-3003. If this resonates with you, tell me. I mean, I issued a call like this at a live engagement one time, and a woman stepped forward and she said, oh, I was fighting for the enemy. I was absolutely in favor of a woman's right to choose, and I fought for it, and I was very active. Does that describe you? Maybe it still describes you. 1-800-811-3003. Tell me. Tell me that story. 1-800-811-3003. And again, our pro-life resource is The Case for Life by Scott Klusendorf. Maybe you feel as though, and especially, you know, for some of the men who are listening, maybe you feel as though you were a bystander to it all. Boy, I had a really interesting conversation with an Uber driver this week. I went to visit some ministry friends in Indianapolis at Mission Preborn. And on the ride back to the airport, the driver and I, you know, well, what were you in town for? Well, I had pro-life work, really. You know, so we got into the conversation. And, you know, he said, well, I mean, as a man, I realize I have no voice. Where would that put you in a great struggle? If this were to be, you know, if we were really to regard this as a war, where would that put you? Would you also be considered a prisoner? If you weren't allowed to fight, nor even to voice an opinion, would you be considered a captive? 1-800-811-3003 is our number. 1-800-811-3003. I would love to hear, you know, or maybe you think that there's a better analogy, you know, and you're tired of the rhetoric of war, because that's been used by both sides. You know, abortion rights advocates have said there's a war on women because in order to, you know, have economic parity with men, women need abortion. And if you want to limit that right that they now have, by, you know, according to the Roe v. Wade decision in our, you know, by our U.S. Supreme Court, if you want to limit that right, you're warring on women's freedom. Maybe that resonates more with you. Maybe you feel like that is the war. 1-800-811-3003. Please call and let me know your thoughts and where you stand and how you express where God has placed you in the culture war. 1-800-811-3003. And for our callers, The Case for Life by Scott Klusendorf. And when we come back from a short break, we'll give you a chance to get to the phone and call us at 1-800-811-3003. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about coerced abortion and a really interesting piece that appeared in National Review this week. Stay with us here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for listening, and please do call us, 1-800-811-3003. It's toll-free, and we have a copy for you of The Case for Life by Scott Klusendorf, just for calling with your comment or question, 1-800-811-3003. And let's go to the phones and say hello to, is it Levi?
Yes, that's correct.
Hi, welcome. Go right ahead, please.
Hi, yes. I was just calling to comment on the program tonight. as a male that went through an previous person I was in relationship with did go through an abortion, and I do feel that men do not have rights or to speak up and have a voice to say yes or no if somebody should get an abortion. Unfortunately, she did go through with it, and, it weighs on me today still. And I constantly think of how, what this life could have been for that child. That I would have been more than happy to raise and support.
Mm. Well, I'm sorry for your loss, Levi, because it is a real loss. And I hear the sadness in your voice, and I know that it can lead to a lifelong grief for men who, as you say, who have no rights. As fathers, they have no say in the lives of their unborn children. You're correct. I think you were stating it as a fact that men don't have any rights. I don't think you were saying you don't think that that's the way it ought to be, right? I mean,
no. That's how I feel. That I didn't have a right to voice my opinion whether I felt she should have an abortion or not. And even though that I was more than willing and able to support this child and be part of its life.
Well, there is abortion recovery available to men. If you'll, stay on the line off the air, we can take your information and try and connect you with resources close at hand to wherever it is that you are. I don't know where you live, but there are resources available to men, and the help and support that men, and we have an ebook that I wrote for men called Someone Stronger, and that's at cradlemyheart.org as a free download. You don't have to give an email address or anything. You just click on the link and you can download the PDF, because I think that, it's a spiritual issue for men as well. You know that there was a life involved there.
Exactly.
So does it resonate?
I just feel like we should be able to have a voice to say and not to tell women what to do with their bodies, but if they don't, they made a conscious decision as well as I did in having a relationship, and in that decision, they made a decision as well as I did in the beginning. So who's to say I don't have a decision after all,
Thank you, Levi. Yeah, I don't know how we're going to resolve it, because the problem is women's rights were secured at the expense of the rights of children and of men. And, I think that it's wonderful at least to hear your voice, because, as you said, you weren't given a voice. And it's wonderful to hear your voice so people can understand that. And and anyone who thinks that this is equal rights for women has to understand that, no, they got those rights at the expense of the rights of men and of the children. Thank you, Levi. And stay on the line.
We'll,
yes, and we'll get your address and send you a copy of A Case for Life. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where we place men in the battle, because they have been, as you heard, silenced by, the abortion rights advocates. and the people who think that women need abortion. I don't know where we put them in the battle. Maybe they're like people who wanted to volunteer during World War II or at other times when, you know, or even now, someone who wants to volunteer and who wants to take up responsibility for a struggle, but is told that they can't because they don't qualify for some physical, impairment or physical characteristic that doesn't meet the military standards. And whether or not that's fair, I don't know that that's a great analogy, though, because the virtue of being a male shouldn't be the thing that disqualifies you from having a heart for unborn children. 1-800-811-3003. Where do you stand in this great struggle that we find ourselves in to determine who can say whether or not human life has value before children are born? That is the struggle. That is the preeminent moral crisis of our time. Because depending upon where you fall in your answer, you're either in favor of defending the lives of members of the human family or so devaluing them that you don't even consider them fully human. 1-800-811-3003. Where do you stand? Are you, through your vote, through your giving, through your voice, are you supporting the cause for life and the case for life? Call us with your question or comment. We have a copy of Scott Klusendorf's book, Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. Now, so many of us do not speak up because we don't want to lose an argument, or we don't want to offend. We don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to share our story and talk about our personal involvement. I'm sure it was very difficult for everyone who has called this program to say, you know, this happened to me, and it's a great source of sadness in my life, as Levi so bravely did with his call tonight. 1-800-811-3003. But this is a wonderful resource to help you do just that, especially if you have participated in abortion, because Scott has a pastor's heart, and he writes about the grace that's available to us if we have participated in abortion, and how the love of Jesus Christ has paid it all for us, and nothing is irrevocably lost. I told you I would share a story from National Review, written by Colin LaCroix. It appeared in last week's online edition. And LaCroix is the Associate General Counsel at the Human Coalition. And the piece is titled, Hidden Abuse of Women, Coerced Abortions. And he writes about the fact that some within the abortion industry acknowledge the problem of coerced abortion, but abortion supporters downplay the scope of the problem by focusing almost exclusively on women who face pressure not to abort. Right. And so they're talking about limited access and all of the things that you may hear if you read a lot about pro-life stories in the news and where the struggle goes legislatively. Abortion proponents, he writes, are known to allude to force and coercion in the context of abortion restrictions and their effects. Activists dressed as characters from The Handmaid's Tale, and you hear about, you know, forced birth. These are the images and thoughts of coercion that come to mind. But he says when it comes to legislation to prevent coerced abortion, abortion proponents trivialize the problem as a myth. And he cites Think Progress's Tara Culp Ressler piece recently, her article, Anti-Choice Activists Use the Myth of Coerced Abortion to Push for Restricting Women's Rights. A legislative counsel for NAREL Pro-Choice Texas recently described a proposal to protect women forced to experience abortion as, quote, creating a problem where none exists to push yet more abortion legislation that is not needed, end quote. And I urge you to read this piece and learn more about it. We have it posted at cradlemyheart.org and our five fast facts from Thursday of last week, because the coercion can be as subtle as someone's boyfriend saying that he'll break up. It can be stronger as parents telling their teens that they will kick them out or not pay for college. The very broad range of things that equal manipulation and coercion is very eye-opening if you step back and take a look at it. And I don't know that passivity and apathy would ever be actually counted as coercion. But they certainly put you on one particular side of the struggle. So I urge you to care and examine your heart to see exactly where it is that you stand and what you are willing to do to help women who are in need of support to defend the lives of their children yet to be born. That's our mission here, preventing abortion and helping those it has hurt. And you can join us online at cradlemyheart.org. And I really hope that you will. Find us, find our links to social media there too, and support us and follow us and let your voice be heard as well. Thank you so much for listening. Please join us again next week. I'm Kim Cattola, your host, reminding you Jesus loves you, and so do we.